This morning, I'd like to invite you over to the book of Judges, Judges chapter 2, verse 1. Judges chapter 2, verse 1 reads this way, "And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice." And then go with me, if you will, to verse 15. Verse 15 reads this way, "And whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord hath sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, and Lord, we thank you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people, and Lord, knowing that where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. And so we thank you, Lord, for your presence this morning. We ask for the blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds, that we might hear from you. Lord, that you might open up spiritual truth to us, that you might be honored and glorified and lifted up, and our lives strengthened by the grace that you've given to us as your children. And then, Lord, if there's one or more than one that does not have that assurance, that you would help them to see their need of eternal life in you even today. Bless your word, bless your people in this congregation, for we ask all this in Jesus' name, amen. The title this morning of the message is An Important Question and a Promise Fulfilled. An Important Question and a Promise Fulfilled. And as we consider this, I want to just stop and just take a moment to allow us to contemplate this truth. Ready? The Lord created, as I mentioned earlier this morning, the Lord created you and I to glorify Him. That's a blessing. But I want you to know that God is the owner of all creation. Nobody tells Him what to do. The world and the devil might think that they would like to tell God what they do. I promise you this, God is not afraid of them. Listen, no matter what the world is doing, God is in control.
That ought to bring comfort to our hearts as believers. Listen, it's important, and I do it, and I understand the frailty of the human mind and the human thinking. Oh, look what's going on in this part of the world. Oh, no. Look what's going on over here. Oh, my goodness, we've run out of baby formula. You heard the latest, right? And so all of these things, and those things are important, and God cares about them, and God cares about those infants that need the nourishment that they need to have. But in spite of all of that, God is in control. I don't understand it all. I would be the first one to tell you. But God is in control. And one day when we stand before him face to face, we will understand it better in the sweet by and by, that he truly is a loving God, even when things take place that we don't understand. I think of the 1930s where the Jewish people were persecuted by Hitler and his regime there. And we think, oh my goodness, the atrocity. And it was very horrible of what took place. And not only to Jews, there were other people that were killed by the Nazis. And we understand that. And obviously Hitler was a type of antichrist. He was against the things and the people of God. But through it all, I can see a little bit of what was happening, because after that war, Israel went back to Israel. The people, the Jewish people went back, and the nation of Israel, after some 2,000 years, started once again. So there was a good thing. Now, I understand people died in all of that, but one day we're going to look at everything from God's perspective, and we do know that God truly works out everything for the good of his people. Don't always understand it on this side. I'll be the first one to tell you that. But I have to place my faith or my trust that God is a loving God. And I see more of that every day. But I want you to see something here. First of all, an important question. And in verse 2, it says, "Why have you done this?" God was asking for the reason of the rebellion of his own people. He asks them, "Why have you not obeyed my voice? Why have..." And notice the last part there. "Why have you done this?" Unbelief will be the first thing to enter into the heart and mind of a child of God that will lead us astray. Unbelief. In other words, we're not willing to trust the Lord in what he has said. We'd rather trust what we see, what we feel, what we hear, instead of the truth that doesn't move. It never alters. It is a solid foundation. And we need to be aware of that vulnerability so that we don't lean on that or trust in that. That's what the world looks to, but you and I have been redeemed to greater things. And again, to glorify the Lord by walking by faith or trust in his promises. And then lastly, we find In verse 15, the promise fulfilled. They were greatly distressed, the Bible tells us there. In verse 15, at the very end there, and they were greatly distressed. Why? Because they decided not to trust the Lord. There are consequences when we decide to live according to the way that we think or according how I feel. You ever hear people say, "Well, I know what I believe." Well, if it's not what God said, it's wrong. I'm sorry, it's wrong. You may not like that. I don't always like that. Amen? But if it's not what God said, if it's in contrast to what God has said, it is wrong. Some people say, "Well, listen, once somebody betrays you in this area, you should never trust them in that area again." Is that what the Bible teaches? If they're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and they say, "I'm sorry," should you forgive them? How many times? Please don't say 490. Right? Always. But now here's the thing. How should you forgive them? "Well, I'll forgive you, but I'm not going to trust you." God says, here's what God says. You forgive them as Christ has forgiven you. So that's no strings attached. Now, how do I do that? By faith. By trusting what God says. I'm going to forgive them and I'm going to welcome them right back in just as if they had never done it, because that's how Jesus has forgiven us, just as if we are justified, just as if we had never sinned. Isn't that amazing? We have been given the righteousness of God. We can come up as believers with our own ideas that are foreign to the Word of God. And we can preach those things and we can think we're so smart and so wise and stand on those things and be completely wrong. Peter was so right, wasn't he? "Lord, do all these forsake you? I And he messed up, didn't he? He messed up. And you and I will always mess up when we lean to the flesh. It's possible. So we have to be careful, walk circumspectly, looking around, to walk by the grace of God in the truth of God. So I want to look at a couple of things here. I'm going to ask you to hold your place here because we're going to look at some Bible truths that are important for you and I to understand, because God is a merciful God and God is not finished with his people. Do you believe that? So we have the people of Israel that are still the people of God. He's not finished with Israel. He's not finished with the Hebrew nation. Not at all. And then we have people that have been grafted into Abraham. And those are the New Testament believers. But all really, in the eyes of God, belong to him. And so we thank the Lord for that. And he is a merciful and a gracious God. Has he forsaken any one of his people? Hasn't. And you will always be in his hand because of his grace. Go with me, if you would, to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 16. I want you to see a couple of important truths that will help lay the groundwork for where we're headed here this morning. And these are some truths that we need to really believe and understand in order to receive, not just believe, but to receive the truths in God's word. So how much of God's word? Now, we need to understand a couple of things here, okay? How much of God's word has been given to us? I'm talking about Old and New Testament. How much of God's word has been given to us for our edification and instruction? Oh, not just part of it? Not just some of it? Now, there are things, when it comes to the Jewish law, that has all been fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are not under the law, we are under the grace of God. And that's why we meet on the first day of the week instead of on the seventh day of the week, right? And so that's because that's where the Lord fulfilled everything and rose again on the first day of the week. But I want you to see this. Notice with me, if you would, verse 16. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 says this. All scripture, not half of it, not part of it, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for, listen, reproof, for correction. I want to know if I'm doing something wrong. For instruction in righteousness, not ours, God's. That the man of God, oh, you see, that's just for the preacher. This is, they call this a pastoral epistle for preachers, right? Is that true? Is it just for preachers? No, absolutely right. That the man of God, verse 17, may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished, complete, unto all good works. The furnishing comes by the Lord. Now, just so that you know, and I know, and understand that this portion of Scripture, especially this book and all of the Bible, has been given to all believers, back up with me to verse 12. Now, this is a little bit of a hard pill to swallow, but it will help us understand how to walk in the grace of God. Same book, same chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 3, back up, look at verse 12, and it says this, notice this. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus. Should every believer want to live godly in Christ Jesus? And notice, it's in Christ Jesus. We can't do it in our strength. Don't walk in the flesh like Peter did and mess up. We can do that. It's our nature to do that. But we have to be dependent upon the Lord to guide us. Notice what it says here. They all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Not maybe, you will. What does that mean? What does that persecution mean? Not everybody's going to like you. Not everybody's going to like your Savior. Not everybody's going to like the gospel message of your Savior. And so you will be persecuted. Oh, you're one of them. Oh, you're a Christian. And that may not be favorable. But needless to say, who are we going to stand with? Who are we going to live for or allow to live through us? So that's verse 12. Continue with me there. Look at verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Are things getting better or getting worse? Deceiving, listen, and being deceived. Look at verse 14 and we're finished there. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing to whom thou hast learned them of. For the child of God, that's the Holy Spirit. And that we've been, we're learning the word of God. Specifically, Timothy was being taught the faith of God from the Holy Scriptures as a child. And we thank the Lord for his testimony. And so he's encouraging him, but it's been included in the canon of Scripture for you and I to understand that we are going to also not to be looked favorably upon by the world. Did Jesus say something about the world not liking him? John chapter 14. And did he say something to the disciples about if the world didn't like him, guess what? They're not going to like you either. Now, the world is in confrontation to the will of God. The flesh is in confrontation to the will of God. The devil is definitely in confrontation with the will of God, specifically in your life and mine as his children. The Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. He is up there and trying to gain access and pointing a finger at you and I as not being perfect. And the Lord says, I know, that's why I died for them. I know, he is our advocate. He is the one that, now listen, doesn't mean that we should settle for that. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't ask God to live through us. But realize, because of the righteousness of God that has been placed in your account, to your account, when God sees you and I, he sees the blood applied, sins paid for. I love that. That ought to give us freedom and liberty to live for the honor and glory of the Lord. Now, I want to look at a couple of things here this morning. Go back to the book of Judges, chapter 2. I want to look at brought to the place of sacrifice. That's what God wants to do to his children and for them. He has to bring us to this place of sacrifice. And then he also wants to bring us to the place to see all the great works of the Lord in your life. Listen, all these things were given to us for examples and instruction, were they not? Instructions of what? That we might walk in those things and experience the same things that all the believers previous to us had experienced. The only reason why you have any faith in God is because of what God has done for you. I mean, listen, why do you trust a good friend? Because they're a good friend. How do you know that? Because I've proved them. And I've proved them again. And I've proved them again. And you know what? You have a handful of friends, maybe, that you can count on no matter what. I'm talking about friends that you can call up and knock on their door at midnight. You're that comfortable. You only have a handful of those. That you could say, I need you in a really big way. And they will say, I am there for you. What can I do for you? Jesus sticks closer than a brother. Isn't that something? That's amazing. You can always count on him. And here's the crazy part. Ready? Even if he can't always count on us, we can always count on him. And so notice what's happening here. In this portion of Scripture, let's just back up to verse 1, brought to the place of sacrifice. Look what's happening right here. And the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt. So notice what he's reflecting on, their deliverance out of Egypt, and brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers. So they wandered around. Now they're being brought into the land that was promised to them. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Is that the truth? God never breaks his covenant. We might. Let me just show you something. I'm going to skip ahead, all right? Let me show you the grace of God. Look at verse 16. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them, speaking about his people. They would turn away from the Lord. The consequences of their sin brought the judgment of God on them, and then God would hear their cry, and he would raise up a judge to deliver them. If he didn't love them, he would have just said, suffer, and I'm forgetting about you. But he never turned his back on his people. He was like the prodigal son's father out there waiting for the return and for the cry of his children to say, God, help us, we're sorry. And he would be right there for them. I love the Lord, don't you? Do you know why we love him? Because he first loved us. And we experience that. Look at verse 2. He says, and ye shall, and in fact, I made you go up out of Egypt and have brought you into the land, verse 1, which I swear unto your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. It was specific. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And that's the real reason why he wanted them to throw down their altars, because it would be a trap for them. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, the people lifted up their voice, and what did they do? They wept. God brought them to that place to where their hearts broke. Just like when your eyes were opened up for the first time of the guilt of your sin before your Savior. And you saw you were guilty. And you cried out and you said, however you said it, save me, Jesus. And he stepped in and pardoned your sin. And you walked away knowing that you were born again. Wow. What a God. What a Savior we have. What a merciful God. And so he says, they lifted up their voice and they wept. Now watch this, verse 5. And they called the name of that place Bochim, which means weepers. And they sacrificed there. Listen, they sacrificed there unto the Lord. They had thankfulness in their heart. They wanted to say, thank you, God, for your great mercy and your great love wherewith you loved us. Verse 6, and Joshua had let the people go, and the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. So they were in a good place, weren't they? Listen, who brought them to that place? God brought them there. God wants to bring you to that same place. Now let me help you understand something about this place that God wants us to be in. It's when we acknowledge that he's the truth. The lost worlds, and I'm not picking on them because I want you to know this when I say this, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He died for all humanity. The sins of all of humanity have been paid for. Now all they have to do is receive. It's already been done. Jesus Christ died and rose again, shed his blood for everyone that would ever come into existence, or anyone even before that time that was in existence. We looked forward to the promise of what was going to take place, put our faith in what he was going to do, and now in the New Testament, we're looking back to what he has already done. Because he's not willing that any should perish. Now, one of the favorite verses of the world that they like to point a finger at when we start to say what is right and what is wrong, from the Word of God, when a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ begins to say, listen, that's right or that's wrong, from the Word of God, what do they say? Oh, judge not. Judge not. Don't judge. And then they're the first ones when something goes wrong to blaspheme the name of God. Because the natural man doesn't receive the spiritual things, but God is not expecting them to stand upright, but he is expecting his children who understand the love of God to trust him, come what may. So I've heard this more than once, from relatives even, that come to me in the 90s, one relative came to me and told me that capital punishment was wrong. That means, I'm sure you know, that when somebody commits murder and they are proven guilty of murder, they would be executed for it. That's wrong. And that's what they told me. And here's why. Ready? Because, listen, two wrongs don't make a right. There's a problem with that. Judgment for a crime is not another wrong. It is judgment for what is right. So, for example, if we wanted to follow that false, fake ideology or philosophy that two wrongs don't make a right, well, then the police officer shouldn't give me a ticket for doing 100 miles an hour down the road. Because he would be doing a wrong to me. No, he would be passing judgment. I have broken the law. I must pay the penalty. or you have lawlessness. Let's look at these brilliant minds today. Hey, I know what we'll do today because we've rejected God and the ways of God because we think God is just too harsh. God shouldn't do these things. So here's what we will do. We're going to make up this new law that they did. And as long as I think it's under $900 or $1,000, you can steal and we won't do anything to you. So you know what that did? Oh, goodness gracious, golly me, I'm not going to steal anymore. No, so they would steal under $1,000 or $900 or whatever the amount was. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Please, bring that here to Columbia. Let my neighbors think that, right? I would love to have my neighbors, you would love to have your neighbors think they can come and steal from you just as long as it's under $900. Because I promise you there are people that have invested in their businesses that are losing out. And here's the brilliant philosophy. You can take from them because they're wealthy. You can steal from somebody else. Listen, they poured their life 9 times out of 10 into their business. When somebody steals something from you, it costs you your life and hours to work for it that you won't get back. Listen, we are justifying stealing. God says, thou shalt not steal. Listen, the child of God better be sure of who they're believing. And so it's wrong. Stealing is wrong. I don't care how you slice it. And every one of those politicians that jumped on that boat ought to be fired. And I don't care what side of the aisle they're on. Because there's crooks in all the aisles. And all of the crooks, we ought to just look at who they are and fire all of them. Because our nation's not getting any better. And Edmund Burke said that the only thing for evil to triumph is that good men or people that adhere to the truth just don't do anything. Do nothing. And we have that today. Listen, we ought to not care. I am loyal to the Lord and His word. And that's where our loyalty ought to lie. And what the word of God is saying is right and wrong. And listen, our world and our nation is falling apart. And it has been falling apart. And it's not getting any better. And here's the problem. Listen, we're looking to our pocketbooks instead of to what's right and what's wrong. No matter who is leading our country, they ought to be held to accountability to the truth. No matter who. And we're buying into a lot of these things that we're allowing and that we're propagating. And listen, it's demented. It is demented. You tell me, what business does an educator have telling a 8-year-old or younger anything about sexual orientation? It is the parents' responsibility. They take too much upon themselves, and every one of them ought to be dealt with. And if we're not willing to stand for it, then we're going to fall for everything. And then all of a sudden, evil creeps in. Listen, we are serving the new morality, the new Molech. Molech, listen, the people of God turned from the true God unto a false god called Molech. And he had bronze arms. And they would heat up those arms till they were glowing red hot. And they would offer up their children and watch them burn for the hopes of prosperity. Tell me America's concern is not prosperity instead of the righteousness of God. That's what we're all... Listen, it was the children of God that were doing that, not the world. We just shut up our mouths, look the other way, Because after all, we've got bills to pay. And then we wonder why our nation's in such a mess. Somewhere in this nation, somebody said, you know what? I think evil is good. So, listen, somewhere in our nation today, sometime in our nation, in the time frame of our existence, somebody said, you know what? I know he committed murder, but we can rehabilitate him. For what, pray tell? If it was a violent crime, if it was murder on purpose, their life ought to be taken. That's how you stop that. People think they're going to get away with it. And then we give them, oh, we'll give them 25 years. And if it's really bad, we might give them 30. Very rarely do you hear, I mean, my goodness, listen, you can count probably on two hands how many executions are performed in 1 year in any given state. Maybe in a lot of states, not even any. And yet murder is taking place there. Now, I'm not talking about if there's question or reasonable doubt, then you let the courts run its course. But if it is blatantly provable, now with DNA and all, everything else that they have, they can emphatically say, yes, this was murder, and this was a kind of murder, and it was a brutal murder. I'm sorry, but listen. In order for evil to triumph, we just need to turn away, keep our mouths quiet. Let somebody else take care of it. Do you realize, listen, that these political people are just people like you and I, just like your next door neighbor? Oh, they might have a degree, but they have no right to tell you and I how to live our lives. And they're the first ones to champion all these people that are crazy. That believe that they can be something else. That men can deliver babies. You believe that? I mean, we have become a foolish nation. I think Russia, China, and all these corrupt countries are laughing. We've become a laughing stock. Why? Because we've turned our backs on God. Now, who does God want to turn back toward him? Does he want the politicians to turn toward him? If they're believers. If they're believers. But he said, if my people, which are called by my name, those are the ones he's looking for. And so, we ought to be crying for our nation before the throne of God. Oh, God, forgive us. Look what we have done. But you know what happens? We get a little reprieve. We get a little reprieve and we think everything's all right. Things are not all right. And listen, I want you to know something right here. I don't wish any ill will on people that don't understand. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They were crucifying him. I really believe the lost world does not know what they're doing. But that doesn't excuse me to go along with it. I ought to more adamantly say, listen, I want you to know something. And listen, the lost world will say, yeah, even if somebody killed my family, I don't think two wrongs make a right. We're not talking about two wrongs. We're talking about one. Murder. And we're talking about the justice and judgment of God's command. When somebody kills, their life is taken as well. And I promise you, you have a whole lot more people giving it a second thought before they get caught up in the heat of the moment if they knew that something was going to happen to them. Especially for people who are not just a one-time killers, but they just repeatedly do it. Killing sprees. And they get life in prison? Really? Think about the families that are affected, that have been stolen, that have been taken from them, their family members. And this person gets to live and be fed and be given telephone rights and we give them education and we give them all this kind of garbage at our expense. I don't agree with communist Russia, But I think they know better how to deal with criminals than we do. How'd you like? Listen, we send you to Russia to teach you a lesson, to their prison camps. They might think they're tough. I think they'd start singing another song when they found out that judgment would fall. But where's the judgment? Where's the righteousness? And so God says, we've turned away from that. God brings them back to this place. And I want you to see what God is doing here. Look at verse 7. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders, listen, that outlived Joshua. Listen, they were brought to this place of worship. They mourned for the error of their ways. They cried because they rebelled against the Lord and they sacrificed to the Lord. And the Lord is telling us that all the people, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days, listen, of the elders that outlived Joshua. Why? Who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. What is America missing? All the great works that God did for Israel. What does God want to reveal to you and I? Listen, does God want to do great works for you and me? He wants to turn us away from death to life. Isn't that why he died? He wants to change our direction from the path of destruction to the path of life. We just have to be willing to say, I trust you, God. I trust you. I'm not going to trust what I see. I'm not going to trust what I feel or what I think. I'm going to trust you in everything that you've said. That's a big commitment. But it's one with promise. And one, listen, with no regrets. No regrets. There's not one person before the throne of God that has given up this world for the Lord that has any regrets. But I will tell you, the ones that have regret are the ones that sold out for the world and sold out their Savior. There will be people in heaven, I'm convinced, by the grace of God, that we will be surprised because they trusted the Lord but missed out. They didn't. You couldn't see it. And that's just the grace of God. And I'm for that. I am amazed that that's my God. I am in awe. I am thankful that my God is like that. Where's our nation headed? Is it getting better or worse? Oh, let's come up with another brilliant idea. Let's have a disinformation czar. Oh, yes, to decide for us. What is the truth? And that sounds like Russia. Pravda. Let's go ahead and have them to tell us what we should listen to and what we should not. I think I could decide for myself, since the people that want to set themselves up as the arbiters of truth are liars anyway. Remember, they're just people like you and I. But they're going to tell us what is right and what is wrong. No, let's... Let it all go. I'll decide for myself what is right. You know what? As a young kid, I didn't spend a penny on the National Enquirer and all those other periodicals that were all a bunch of hooey anyway. Because it was known. They were being sued all the time. But now here's the crazy thing. They stayed in business. Because people fed on that. And it was a lie. But they read it. You know the devil knows our nature will buy the lie. Pay for it. Excuse it. And even give it. Did you know? Listen, did you know? And we'll finish up here. Did you know that aliens are real? Oh, don't laugh. They just annihilated themselves. That was on a splash news on my internet. I thought, listen, I saw it. It showed a cracked egg. I saw it and I said, I can't believe this. It stayed on my front page for 2 days. So I said, I want to see what they're talking about. And they've got evidence. Because we are doing global warming here and we're destroying ourselves, that's why we don't find the aliens today. Because they wipe themselves out. Somebody wrote that. Somebody got paid for writing that. And a bunch of people read that, and I promise you today, people are going, so that's how it happened. Oh, that's how it happened. I knew it all along. I just needed somebody to say it and me to put my brain somewhere else and believe that nonsense. Isn't that crazy? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And then we are wide open for not some, but every lie the devil has. And if you want to know why our country is in the state that it's in, it's not because of the world. It's because of God's people. Save yourself the trouble. If the History Channel puts something out about the Bible, Armageddon, the return of Christ, please. You'd be better off reading the stinking Inquirer, if that's even still in existence, or some garbage. And really, the truth is, you know, I'm just being facetious. It's all garbage. Where will I go? And where should I go to know what life is and the truth is really all about? Not the internet, the Word of God. The internet will have you believing things that are not true. And God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Listen. And His righteousness. And He says, all these things that you stand in need of, I'll make sure that you have it. Somewhere along the line, God's people have been given the idea that it's up to them to get it. And God says, seek me first. And you know what you're going to find? The purpose of your creation and your family's creation and how to help them. By the Holy Spirit just guiding your life. You won't have to give them advice. They'll see the joy of the Lord. You don't have to sit there and tell them how to live their lives. They don't want you to do that. They want to see what your Christ is all about. And if it's not happening for you, you've got nothing to sell anyway. You could be so sure you're a child of God, but if your life is all falling apart, He's not working for you, is He? He works. He does work. But if He's not alive in you, there's no testimony there. There's no witness. When the people of God were being attacked by the inhabitants of the land, they were believers. But why were they being persecuted? Because they rejected their God. Do you think they could have told the people that were persecuting them about their God? There was no power. Kind of like Samson. When he betrayed the Lord and his hair was cut, the Bible says he went out as at other times, but listen, he wist not that the Spirit of God had departed from him. I wonder if God's people even know today that we don't have the power of God like God wants us to have it. So God brings us to the place to say one of two things. I believe it or I don't. And if I do believe it, it's an opportunity for me to say, oh God, help us. Now, I don't want to try to talk you into doing anything. But we do believe that where two or three are gathered together in His name, that Christ is in the midst. Can you pray in your chair? Yeah, you can. But I think it honors God when we come before the throne of God, the altar of God, and do business with God and say, oh God, I don't want to just be a mediocre Christian. I want your love to shine through me. You see, because I have lost loved ones or friends or people that I want to influence for you. But more than anything else, I want to love you as you've loved me. The invitation surely is the Lord's. And I'm not think anything of you. You do what you think God wants you to do, because I surely don't want you to do anything because the preacher told you to. But if you can see we need God today more than ever, things aren't going in the right direction. Things aren't going in the right direction. And our nation needs God. We talk about sending foreign missionaries. I'm all for that. We need them here. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he might send forth more laborers into his fields. And we are those laborers, if we'll have it. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that you've given to us to be able to discern the truth and to move in us, Lord, to seek you and to humble us, Lord, that we would not walk in pride, but that we would call upon you and say, oh God, I need you in my life in a greater way, that I might be the influence you would have me to be to my family, to my friends, for your honor and glory, and to the world. Bless the invitation. May you have your will and way in each and every one of our hearts. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.